Now, you may or may not know that today is the International Day of Prayer for the persecuted church around the world. And our focus of the day, if you walked in the front door and you saw the bulletin board up, it was all about the International Day of Prayer. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So what I would like to do, first I want to thank the Homiacs for getting us the projector, because without that, you wouldn't be able to see what I'm going to put up above. And thanks, Al, for hooking it up. If it works, it's his doing. If it doesn't, it's his doing. I'm just kind of here. But there has been, I guess, ever since Stephen was stoned, there has been an active anti-God movement within the world. We were warned about it in Scripture when Jesus was on the earth. He says, you know, if they don't like me, they're not going to like you either. We are not the rule in this country by escaping active physical persecution. We are the exception to the rule. And in most countries and at most times for the last 2,000 years, people have had to go to great lengths to keep from being imprisoned or beaten or killed simply to exercise their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been encouraged, especially by a group called the Voice of the Martyrs, to remember our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world today. And that's what we're going to do. But I'd like to start out, first of all, with some scriptures which have to do with that. And just to remind you, the importance of God's Word, the importance of God's Son, the fact that it's not an unusual thing for people to be persecuted for their faith. So let me read some scriptures to you, and then I would like to have a short presentation here, and we'll wind up with the communion that the Metters have prepared for us this morning. And you don't have to look all of these up, because I have a number of scriptures. If you would just listen and kind of let it soak in. Matthew chapter 5, verse 18 says, assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. When you have, either in the Roman Empire or in the former Soviet Union or in today's China or in Nigeria or in the Middle East, you have people who are trying actively to stamp out God and His people and His Word, we already know that they're not going to succeed, because we know that nothing will pass away until Christ returns and He has fulfilled the parts that He did then, and He will continue to fulfill the parts of His ministry when He returns. So there's nothing that's going to pass away. In fact, Paul, who was in chains, as you may know, through much of his earthly ministry, says in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. And that would include any ethnic group, no matter where they are geographically or what they may have experienced in the past. It's for everyone. Ephesians 6:19 says, and for me, and this is Paul again, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. In Acts chapter 26, verse 18, again speaking of what we should do and what believers should do around the world, the prayer is that we would open their eyes, that is, others who don't believe, open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And then it gives in Matthew chapter 24, shifting from what we're supposed to do until looking at the end times, Matthew chapter 24, verse 14 says, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. And how do we go about doing that? How do we see that gospel being preached? Well, the first thing we're told to do in a number of different places is to pray for other people, not just for us and not just what we want, but for other people. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, we're not only told how to pray, but for whom to pray and why we should pray. So let me read that for you. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So, what does that say to us about people who were in power in my younger years in parts of Asia? The name Pol Pot comes to mind, who killed people indiscriminately, except that he specifically singled out those who were believers. What does it say about Joseph Stalin, who was before my time, who killed millions of his own people, many of whom because they simply chose to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? What does it say about the current leaders of China who are going through their very best to stamp out the gospel of Jesus Christ in China? It's not just something that happened in history books back in the Roman Empire, but it has happened in every generation, and including the one today. What does it say about the ones who are in control of the police forces in Nigeria, who have allowed great atrocities to take place in their own homeland against people who refuse to become Muslim? What does it say about the ones who are in control in Indonesia or in the Middle East? Well, the scriptures didn't change. Let me read it again. I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We pray for them. And we also pray for those brothers and sisters who are under their authority temporarily, knowing that the final authority and the ultimate authority is not in the hands of those men and women who want to belittle or kill those who are like us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Their final authority is not with them. It is only a temporary authority. The final authority is in the hands of the one who wins in the end. He's in the Remember that last week when we talked about the Apostles' Creed and we said, what do I believe? I believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and the earth. That's who has the final authority. And he gave that authority to his Son, which is the second line of the Apostles' Creed, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. That's where the final authority is. That's why we pray. That's how we pray. And that's what we pray about. Romans chapter 15, verse 30 says, Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. So, I think what that says is, not only in the days of Paul, but in our days as well, for those who are actually doing the work of the ministry in these countries that are persecuting fellow believers, we pray for them as well. So who do we pray for? We pray for the leaders of the countries. We pray for those under the authority of those leaders, especially for the brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray for those who are doing the work of the ministry in those countries. And we even pray for people who have the means to do something about it, whether it's in the leadership of our political institutions or whether it's in the hands of those who have the funds who are able to help when those things are going on. That's how we pray, and that's who we pray for. So with that as a backdrop, I know it's a lot of scripture, and I know you didn't have time to look at all that. I would like to look at some of the specifics that are going on in the world today. And the first one I'd like to feature is in North Korea. If you know anything about North Korea, you know that it is an anti-Christian regime. But still within that country, there are people who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me read you a short story. I'll just tell it to you. There's a small village right on the river in the border between North Korea and China. And on that, in that village, there is a small group of believers. The only way they have to have any kind of physical security from the authorities who don't want them to worship is to gather up their fishing poles and their nets and to get on a boat as if they're going to go fishing. But hidden down inside the duffel bags with their tackle in it, they have their Bibles. And they go out into the center of the river and they throw their lines over to look, make it look as if they're fishing, and then they study the Bible. Most of them don't have Bibles. And the ones who do have Bibles are worn because of overuse. If a person is caught in North Korea reading or possessing a Bible, they'll be sent off to a labor camp. And many of these people who are in this small village, and other villages as well around the country, have friends and relatives who are either in those camps or have been buried in those camps. That's going on right now. There are mission organizations who are in the business of printing and distributing Bibles, even in places where it is unlawful to do so. And that's going on now. So that's one story. Let me give you another one. There's a young lady in Pakistan who, in, I believe it was 2010, maybe 2011, was accused of blaspheming the prophet Muhammad. What happened was she went to draw water from a well, and the Muslim women who were with her, some of them didn't have containers. She had a container. She offered them the water from the container. They were not willing to drink after a Christian because that was forbidden. And as a result of her not being willing to accept the statement of faith that the Muslims are required to repeat, then she was declared to be a blasphemer, and she was put in prison. She had a penalty of death put on her. Just within the last month, the case was heard by the highest court in Pakistan, and she was found not guilty. She's trying to leave the country today, but it has also been said that it will have to be reviewed, the case will have to be reviewed, because there are huge demonstrations in the streets against this blasphemer who will not be allowed to leave the country until that case has been heard, and it could take years. Her lawyer has been able to escape because his life was threatened, and he finally was able to sneak out. The lady's name, I would pronounce it Asia, but I think the proper pronunciation is Asiya Bibi. You may have seen that name in the news. It's going on right now. Let's go to Nigeria. In Nigeria, specifically in the city of Jos, I believe is the way you pronounce it, J-O-S, there have been a number of people who have been beaten and killed. Even at the university, on the campus of the university in Jos of Nigeria, there were 7 people who were killed just in the last few months. And their crime was that they were Christians and they would not acknowledge Islam as the true faith. Now, that seems awfully foreign to us. And it is foreign because we don't see that thing around us right now. But the reason that we haven't seen it, I've got to tell you, is not because we're so special or that we're so intelligent or that we're so good looking. The reason we haven't seen it is because there were a set of laws that were put into place at the foundation of this country which allows us to have access to any religious expression we choose to have, including meeting in a place like this without fear of retaliation from the police or of any authority. Without that, and especially in a country that is predominantly anti-Christian, like Indonesia, which is the largest Islamic country on the face of the earth, or in the Middle East, or in the secular dictatorships like North Korea or the former Soviet Union, that protection is not afforded. And there are millions, millions of people who would like nothing better simply than to worship the way they want in a church just like this, but are not allowed to do so. Okay. That's enough of me talking right now. And what we're going to do for the next 15 minutes or so, We're going to look at specific requests from people who are in that situation, and I'm going to get some of you guys to lead us in prayer for each of those requests. It's a very short video, by the way.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Qadus, 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 Rabbal Fad. Zameen Asman ke Khalik Malik. Tera shukr da kate is pyare mauka ke liye jitne hamari zameen mein bakhsh diya. Tera shukr da kate hai khuda da is subah ke liye khuda da. Ke tune hamari zameen mein bakhsha. Ke nayi subah de sake hai khuda da. Khuda tera shukr da kate hai bachcho ke liye khuda da.
I hear this wind, though far off.
2 days in Pakistan, we Christians are second-class citizens. Though we have committed no crime, we are ostracized and banished to the lowest place in society. Often we are forced to leave our villages and our own homes. We cannot get good jobs. And we have no voice in government. What is left for us is servitude. Sewage work. And we know we will never advance. Church, a place where Christians come together to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, to sing His praise, to study His word. For while our country has turned its back on us, God has not. Sometimes it is not easy. The loss, the injustice. So please remember to pray for us. That we will continue to live together in fellowship. That we will continue to see the joy of the Lord in our lives. And that we will persevere in our faith, no matter the cost. And please remember, we are praying for you.
Well, thank you for that. We're now going to do something that would land you in prison in a lot of places around the world. We're going to partake in the Lord's table. An illegal act in some places. You have to do it in secret. But here, we're able to do it freely. So if you would, let's just have a moment of silent reflection and confession of sins, and then we'll proceed. Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness to us and through the gift of your Son. We thank you that we can know him, and we thank you that you've told us all the things we need to know about him. We pray that as we remember his death and his resurrection, that we would do it in a way that's pleasing to you. And we pray again for these that we've seen and we've heard about who cannot do that freely, that you would be with them, strengthen them, and renew their faith. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.